No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Captain Ed has come into the studio today dressed the part. For the first time ever, he's wearing a bomber jacket, aviator sunglasses, because, well, the weather is cooperating to wear such a heavy jacket here in Orlando.
First time ever. It's just,
well, it is.
First
I've never
time
seen you wearing
year.
That. Well, have you worn that to the studio before?
Probably not to the studio before, no.
Okay.
And, so, you know, at 7 in the morning when I'm going out flying, which you would have never seen.
True.
On a winter day.
Or if I did, you would look like a blurry mess. Because
you'd be a blurry mess?
Well, maybe. I might be, too, if I looked in the mirror.
It's because he hasn't had his frou-frou drink yet.
Yes.
Yep.
Well,
his
true.
Frou-frou coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, at least you look the part.
Thank you.
And that's half the battle right there, I think, isn't it? I don't have a bomber jacket. I probably ought to get one. So I at least look like a pilot, even though I don't have my pilot certificate just yet. However,
here we go.
I have made progress.
Oh.
I have. I've made my eye appointment.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
So
that's
beginning
good.
Of February, I go into the doc. And actually, I'm trying to skip a step because I'm going to get one of those LASIK consultations.
Oh.
So I can eliminate the glasses altogether. How about that?
Well, that'll probably, before you do that, you probably want to go on and check AOPA and read the information about the wait period between having LASIK done and when you can actually apply for medical and fly.
Well, you should only be like a week or two.
I can't remember, but I was kind of surprised it was a little bit longer than that.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while since I read it, but it'd be advisable. Anything you do health-wise would be advisable to go to that portion of the AOPA website as a member that you can access that will tell you what you'd have to do with a pre-existing condition to get a medical, or if something happens, what do you have to do to maintain the medical.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Because I had to do this before because I had an RK like 25 years ago. So I had to do that when I got my medical the first time, right?
Well, no, because it was 25 years ago.
Oh.
The waiting period was over. But, that's what I'm saying is that they need I think it's the pressure in the eye to equalize and stabilize and the vision to stabilize before you can exercise the privileges.
Hmm. All right. Well, I'll check into that.
You need
to
do some research. I'm just saying that before.
It's always something. Daggone it.
You don't want to go do it and then have to go report it. And then they say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't give you a medical. You're denied. And then 6 months to a year later, you'll actually get a medical because you have to go through the process of the bureaucracy of Oklahoma City.
Do you agree, Keith? Do you concur?
I agree. Yeah, I do concur.
All right. That's just blows.
You get a medical denied, it becomes a nightmare.
Yeah. Well,
so that's why you want to make sure you have all your ducks in a row before you have anything done.
Okay. I'll check into it. I'm still getting the consultation done. That's my first step. They're checking my eye. It may be that they say, hey, look, you can see perfectly well. You don't need this.
And, not.
Yeah. Well, that's
we
probably what they'll add, yes.
But they may say that you don't qualify for LASIK.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but I'm hoping they don't because I'd much rather do that.
I don't know. I always thought the qualification was cash in pocket.
What do you mean? Whoever has the money will cut on your eye or... Shine a laser
if you have
into
money,
it.
They will.
Well, and I know people, and they know I do this radio show, and they said, he would be a great testimonial for having this procedure
I'm
done.
I'm just saying that industry is known for padding the price a little bit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, I won't get taken. Okay. In that regard, I have no doubt about that. But I did tell them, hey, I do this radio show. So if you mess me up, it will not be good publicity. You hear what I'm saying? You don't want to mess with me. Even though we're radio and God knows you wouldn't want to see me. you wouldn't want to hear me complaining that I can't see after I'd had such a procedure done. But actually, I'm a big fan because I did have radiokeratotomy done back in the day before they had that LASIK thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed my life. Now, all these years later, 25 years later, my right eye is a little on the lazy side. And so it has gotten
just
a little,
your right eye?
Just my I still have very good vision far away, but I've, you know, like most more mature folks like myself, they lose that up close vision.
I don't think you got it, Keith.
Yeah, I
ignored it like I normally ignore your ball busting. So I would like it to work actually, and I think hopefully if I've done it before, you know, they can fix me again.
I'm sure they can.
Yeah. Well, we will see, and then I'll be well on my way to getting back in the cockpit and flying, that kind of thing. You think?
Yep.
You don't
that
look
means,
very.
That means I got to start learning how to swim, and it's too cold out to do that.
No, it's not. This is
you
the best
still
time.
Have plenty of time.
You know, actually, the cold water will encourage you to want to get the hell out of there faster. You'll swim faster. You hear what I'm saying? You got to look at the environmental factors and how they will, you know, work for you as kind of like leverage.
Yeah.
To push you along in your swim training.
I am looking at the environmental factors. Yeah. Your shrinkage is a problem.
Yeah, shrinkage. Yes. Shrinkage is a problem for most men your age. Not me, but or Ed. But Keith, well, you know, what are you going to say? All right. So we got some stuff.
In the pool. I was in the pool.
Okay, George.
Okay, exactly. All right, so a few things that we got to, you know, cover this week. ForeFlight has just come out with another new update. And we mentioned was it last week or the week before you brought up that? The logbook thing, yeah. And that is pretty cool. But they also have this new fuel service that they've incorporated into ForeFlight, which seems pretty happening.
Yeah. It's specifically for turboprop or turbine operators because it is a jet fuel service program and basically allows the operator to compare the prices of their various jet fuel service clubs that they belong to, mm-hmm. and find out which is the best price at the airport they're going to, so they know which discount to use.
Which discount card or fuel service or FBO or what?
I guess, Keith, what's the best way to describe how they do? Is it bulk fuel? You had a little bit of dealings with this in the past.
Yeah, basically, you know, you get accounts like, you know, for instance, World Fuel is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they buy fuel in mass quantities, so you can get a better price. And if you've got an account with them, dollars with them per year,
mm-hmm.
as you get better pricing with it. And so not every FBO takes or uses World Fuel, has contracts with World Fuel. And so it's kind of like a credit card that you have points on or whatever.
Got it.
Know.
Yeah. And it, I guess the way I've always looked at it, it's kind of like the way in the farming industry that I grew up in, there were these things called co-ops, and the farmers would get together in a co-op and they'd have greater purchasing power because they'd be buying more volume, and that would be a way to keep their costs down.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there is nothing like this for general aviation pilots, and that would be a huge benefit. Problem is, I don't think it would be such a huge volume of fuel that it would necessarily get much of a discount. That it would be interesting to learn or look into it and see if that's possible.
Well, doesn't it let you compare just the different fuel prices at the various
places? Yeah, it already has done that for years.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you can at least monitor that for general aviation.
Oh, yeah. You can go in there and look at the airport, look at the fuel prices, decide, okay, that airport's too expensive. I'm going to go to Leesburg, let's say, because Orlando Executive is north of $6 and they're south of $4.
Mm-hmm.
So
are you seeing that right now? You know, the fuel prices are like just dropping like a rock.
Not completely in aviation.
That's what
and
I'm
it
wondering.
Really depends on the airport.
Mm-hmm. But it's more important than
the price
ever.
At Executive has not dropped, but the prices at some of the outlying airports like Titusville and Leesburg, has. So the smaller operators are passing along their savings. Some of the bigger operators, who shall remain nameless, are just reaping taking a bigger margin.
Well, that's why my point is, you know, watching that is becoming even more and more important if you want to stretch those bucks a little bit farther right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, and you can use ForeFlight, or I guess there's other services out there that you can monitor the fuel prices as well, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, airnav.com is a great one, too.
Yeah.
But there's also some cool stuff on that logbook part of ForeFlight that I can mention here, too.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that next right here on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's going on?
We're losing altitude. I'm going to try to put her down at that Air Force base.
Hey, hang on, Chris. We've got a distress call coming in.
Mayday! Mayday! Requesting emergency landing!
I see you, pilot. You are clear for landing.
This is going to be nuts.
God be with them. They did it! They landed!
And look,
they're in love.
Girl, I hope you'll be waiting for me when my plane lands.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Did you see that on SNL this week?
Oh, is that week? Where that's from? That sounded like SNL.
Yep. They had a little fun.
Oh, okay.
Bringing in, I don't know, it was Aladdin. And what's her name?
Oh, okay.
They weren't flying a plane. They were flying a carpet. But, hey, it works for planes, too.
Yeah, well, the guest host this week was the actor that played Kylo Ren on Star Wars Force Awakens. And I actually saw their parody on YouTube where they were parodying Undercover Boss.
Yes.
That was actually quite funny.
Quite entertaining, for sure. All right. Well, there you go. And, all right, so ForeFlight. You know, I don't know what update they're on. Do we even know? Do you happen to know?
Bazillion and one.
Exactly. They keep coming out with new features for this program that are just indispensable, the program at its core. But all these extra features they keep adding, whether it's monitoring fuel costs or new terrain maps and things like that, impressive stuff. But you really like this new logbook feature.
Yeah, I did some research because I'm in the process of trying to decide if I'm going to keep up with my current electronic logbook or shift over to something else. And I've been evaluating Log Pro or Log 10 Pro, Safe Log, and now the 4Flight logbook app. I really, really like some of the stuff they've done from a flight instructor's point of view. It has taken flight training into account, unlike the others, where I can go in and make an endorsement. I can type in remarks. But if I was going to put an endorsement in, I have to manually type the whole thing. They have included a repository of endorsements that you would commonly give a pilot in training, and comes straight out of the FAA's AC-6165 Echo. And, you know, so it's, I can literally pull up that that endorsement, put your name in it, attach my credentials, and sign it, and it becomes a legal signature.
So it sounds like you like that feature.
That's one I've been waiting for on all of these, you know, because I want one I can recommend to the customers, and I'm already recommending them to get 4Flight. Well, they've also come out with some new levels of 4Flight subscriptions. Mm-hmm. I believe they've done away with the basic. You can now get what they call Basic Plus, which includes the logbook. So anybody going with basic, and that we encourage people to do that at our school. Mm-hmm. And so now they'll have a logbook that we can use for training built right in. I've already vetted it with the local FAA office as far as will pilot examiners accept it when we come to flight tests with it.
And the answer is
yes.
Good.
And basically all I have to do is mention the name of the person that told me that, and they'll all run scared and say, yes, if he said we can do it, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Keith could probably figure out who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't want to share that with the world,
no,
so they can use this as well. But let's just go with Joe.
Yeah.
Say okay. Joe said it was okay.
Yeah. So, so you know, I'm really
tell
excited.
Them Joe said it was okay. They'll run scared. That's for sure.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, it is a really, really, really neat product. Yeah, of course, then I looked at it from my perspective of I have to transfer stuff in, and so they've got a little tutorial on how to do that so I can import from my current electronic logbook. They also had some pointers on how to take somebody who's been flying for a number of years like Keith or myself and tabulate our hours and from a paper logbook and bring them in. And so I'm very impressed with what I've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen any negatives yet. You can produce reports through their 4Flight web app. So it's basically their website. You have a login there, and you can produce reports and actually print out copies that could serve as logbooks.
Okay. Now, is it something I can use in my flight training, or I still have to do it manually?
No. You could literally, with this, we could literally take your first logbook, transfer the data over. You would kind of retire the book. You'd keep it mm-hmm. because there's documentation in there you want to keep.
Right.
But then everything going forward could be put into this new logbook.
Sweet. I like that. I don't necessarily like having to, you know, put in the data from the old stuff.
Yeah.
But you have to do that because it has the stamps of approval. So I have to have the proof.
Yeah. That's why you keep the book is because it's got my signature in there attesting to what we did on those flights. You don't have to recreate that. But putting the data in so that when you look at the online logbook, it says your total time is your pilot command time is, your solo time is, your night time is. Mm-hmm. That's what's important. And you're lucky because you really only have a couple make and models to put in there.
Right.
When I go back and do this, there are a lot of different airplanes I have to put in.
Well, I only have one model to put in there.
Well, you've flown the 182.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah, and you've flown, I guess you can't count with Clay because he's not an instructor that you were
right.
in it. But
well, just flight time. But yeah, I mean, just the
It all sounds like too much work to me.
Well, you're old school.
You don't log anything except bare minimum currency. So,
are you still into like killing trees?
No.
As opposed to getting with the 90s or something here.
Keith? No. I think probably the 90s was the last time he made an entry in a logbook.
Ah, he's one of those guys.
Is that about accurate?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not really, the last time I made an entry into a paper logbook was 1996.
No, wait a minute. So how does that work, though? After you get to a certain level, they don't check your logbook?
Well, if I was going for a flight test, they would.
Yeah.
But I have to renew my CFI every year. Mm-hmm. But I have to keep record of my currency and proficiency.
Right.
Now, it doesn't specify in what manner. Through our program at work, the MyFBO software, I've been working with that, you know, from between two companies now since 2003. So pretty much all my flight time's in there, and I've downloaded that. And then what's nice about that program is it comes out as an Excel spreadsheet. I dump it into the current logbook program I'm using, which is Log 10 Pro.
Mm.
You know, and that I only use that to sort my hours and come up with numbers for the insurance companies each year when we renew policies.
Got it. So you don't necessarily need a logbook for the insurance company, but you have to have something that documents, you know, hey, you've done this much time in the plane.
Yeah.
Hey, you've done your...
Because that's one of the first things they're asked is, you know, how many hours do you have in this make and model of airplane or in multi-engine land or in, you know, tailwheel if that's what we're trying to get insurance on.
Got it. So that could be as easy as showing the receipt from the flight school rental or something from the airplane.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't like that. That's where, you know, a lot of pilots have, for years, used Excel spreadsheets to keep track of all this.
Yeah.
That's still just as good as anything else.
Hmm. So it doesn't have to be a full-formed logbook per se.
Correct. There are specifications in 6151 that specify what has to be put in a logbook entry. And then as instructors, we have the responsibility of logging training time in a logbook, including our signature and our certificate number.
Okay. But if you want to be a good little doobie, fill out your logbook accordingly, whether on paper or electronically.
Yes.
But that wouldn't be me, probably.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And if things go as planned, we hope to connect with Ben Sinclair from General Aviation News. He put out an article last week, or a little press release. Actually, it's from a year or so ago, about upgrading your Cessna. And like putting in a new engine and you know, a new paint job appearance, you know, little features and things like that. And I never thought about that. Like if you did an overhaul as opposed to overhauling the engine, when you just put a new one in, like a souped up engine, like a Corvette. Can you do that? Because according to this article, that's what they were putting in. They were putting in some kind of Corvette engine.
Well.
Yeah? No?
It's possible.
It's possible.
There was the... There
Is
was
it
the
advisable?
Old, the old Mooney Porsche, where they had Porsche engines in Moonies.
Yeah.
You know, they have put liquid-cooled car engines in airplanes before.
Yeah.
Usually the problem is weight. They're too heavy.
Yeah. Well, it does say something in the article about having to pare down the engine somewhat.
Yeah.
Because it's slightly too big, but there's some kind of modification they can make to it. And then
yeah, they take the emissions off.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, who needs that anyway? You're up in the air and no one can see it anyway, right? Or
right.
Smell it. But I don't know. I mean, we'll talk to Ben, find out what that's all about. Have you guys ever done that? I mean, I know you retired... you know, one of the 172s. Well, you sold one of the 172s, but yeah. Was that ever a possibility of just like taking it and like, hey, let's go soup it up?
Well, we thought about converting it to a diesel engine.
Yeah,
and you know,
what we should have done is we should have stole the engine out of Lenny's Corvette.
Aha! There you go.
See,
we could still do that.
Should have just gone over to his house and taken it out one night and.
We can still do that, you know.
Well, you know, I didn't read this article as far as where you get that Corvette engine from. So, you know, maybe
well, I know where there's one sitting that doesn't get used very often.
Okay. Yeah,
do we got a spare plane that we can soup up and turn it into?
Oh, I think we find one.
It's kind of like making a hot rod airplane or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got a flame
juice
inside.
Yeah, I like it. I like the sound of this. We're on to something that's going to get us into trouble, more than likely.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So, you gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew, and we are now joined by Ben Sinclair from General Aviation News on the phone. Ben, welcome. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great today. How are you doing, Greg?
Good. Now, let's talk about this article. Now, first of all, this article isn't new. It's it was a year and a half old or something like that, and just kind of got recirculated. It's been getting a lot of activity on your website at General Aviation News. Is that the deal or what?
Yeah, it's been about 2013, I think it came out, and it continually, if you type Cessna Mods in a Google search engine, it should appear one or two on that on the results page. Yeah.
So. Cool. So there's a lot of great information and links on the article on what you can do and where to go to get cool little upgrades for your Cessna 172, 182, you know, the whole list of Cessna planes and things like that. So, what are the main, give me a couple that are probably the most, I don't know, viable or easy to do, you think? What do you think there, Ben?
Well, from the article that Bill goes through and outlines, I don't know if it's the most viable or easiest, but it's performance, engine upgrades. You know, a lot of older airplanes, older 172s, 180s that are out there, it came out with pretty, I don't want to say underpowered, but pretty underpowered engines.
Kind of wimpy engines.
Kind of wimpy and wambly, but you can put a Corvette engine in there that you steal from your neighbor's car. Is that where you get
basically,
it?
Basically, yeah. Put it up on blocks, you know, under cover of night, whatnot.
Right.
No, it's... That's one of the many options. I took a look at the website. I think that's Quiet Aviation, I think it was.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I don't think it's quite done yet, but there's a video of them starting up a 172 with a Corvette engine, and it sounds really cool.
I can imagine.
You know, instantly.
Yeah.
So, really cool.
Interesting. So does it sound kind of like a Harley or something, or like a Corvette? Yeah, has a little bit more of a manly feel to it. You know,
it certainly sounded nice. I wouldn't say it sounds like a Harley or a Corvette. You know, that's a lot of that's muffling.
Yeah, exactly.
But it sure sound. You know, for those of us who started up a 172, it's more equates to starting up your fuel-injected car. Turn the key, and on it goes.
And just right away. Got it.
That's not always the case with with airplane engines.
Yeah, with carbureted or fuel-injected airplane engines at all, yeah.
You got to juice them a little bit to get them to go sometimes.
Yep. You have to know how to talk to the engine to get it going.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most of the things I have to say when they're not starting can't be played over the air.
Well, in a standard 172 like we had in Charlie Mike was how many horsepower?
It was 160. Okay. Charlie Mike started awesome. It never had a problem starting. Yeah. That was one of its traits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that not everyone is that good, though.
Yeah.
You got lucky to have an easy starting airplane.
Okay. I'll take that as a plus for sure.
Yeah.
But as far as putting in one of these Corvette engines, you're kicking the horsepower up to what? A couple hundred or something, or you think, Ben, or it depends on the engine?
It comes stock. I think the LS3 motor is over 400 horsepower. And, that's a significant upgrade.
Yeah.
From a stock 172 motor, so they actually derate it, so the prop won't over speed and won't overstress the airframe.
Yeah, I imagine
they limit it to about 180 horsepower.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, they got to reinforce the structure of what and do all kinds of things. All right.
No, they don't. Actually,
they don't.
That's what they say. It's a drop-in replacement. Now, I haven't vetted the website of Quiet Aviation or called them on this, but the idea is you drop in a new motor and away you go.
Hmm. Well, I like the sound of that. Get that extra juice in there. I don't know, in a new engine from Corvette. If you don't, you know, get the five finger discount from your neighbor's car,
well, but
it's 30 grand thereabouts, maybe.
I'd be about an engine overall,
right? That's what I'm saying.
Hey, well, that's the price that's on the website, and that's, you know, again, this is let's see, this was published on March 11th, 2013, so almost 3 years ago now.
Okay,
so. I think I saw 45,000 on a Quiet Aviation website.
Well, maybe I'll get a used one on eBay cheaper. Who knows? I don't know. We'll find out. Okay, so performance is one thing. What are some of the other things you could do to soup up your Cessna? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's everything from cosmetic. You know, you want new wheel pants or your headliner's cracking, to some safety stuff. You know, Bill was pretty stoked about putting on replacing the original lap belts with shoulder harness belts. And now he's looking at maybe upgrading again to airbag seatbelts, which are AmSafe, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, we've got them on the newer 172s.
And those are built into the straps himself?
Yeah, the lap belt. When you were in the 182,
right,
you had that thick part that came across your lap. That's where the airbag actually is.
Oh, okay. What triggers it then?
And about a 9G force.
Ah, okay. Just the force of your belly.
Well, no, it's just like with a car impact. There's an explosive charge that inflates it.
Well, when it hits something, or
when there is a it's got an accelerometer basically that measures G force, and when it reaches the trigger point, it, you know, shoots the shotgun shell type or size explosive charge that then inflates the bag.
That doesn't really sound like a pleasant experience, but. Well, a safety
actually,
upgrade that
actually
is,
compared what? To what happens with cars, the airbag blows out at you and hits you in the face.
Right.
This one comes out from your belly and you fall down on it. So it expands out in front of you as you're coming forward.
Hmm.
So it actually, from what they say, it would be smoother than, of course, I'm not planning on testing it.
Yeah. Right.
but I have seen video of crash test dummies being tested with it. So.
Well, there you go. They must work.
Well, I'm the crash
test
dummies.
They're good enough for the dummies.
Crash test dummies lived.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, and that's a fairly easy upgrade, I would imagine, too, right? It just goes into the strap. You put it on the strap, right?
No, there's some wiring that has to go with it.
Oh, there is. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, okay. And then, but some of the bling and the cover, the wheel covers or pants covers, is that what you call them?
Yeah, they're called wheel pants. They go over your tires.
Okay.
In some cases, some guys... Some pilots like the look of the big tires. There are STCs out there, supplemental type certificates for bigger tires.
Yeah. Wheel covers like that. I don't know. Is that just bling, or is there a practical use for something like that?
It'll reduce drag, and it will
make you more streamlined.
Increase your cruise speed as well as decrease your fuel flow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. So we got performance, aesthetics. You know, looks and things like that, those little things. What else do you see on the radar for this article there, Ben? What do you think?
A lot of it's just in pilot preference for instrumentation in the panel. And with today's, with the iPad and all the apps that are available out there, that is a wide open market. You can put fuel flows and engine analyzers in the panel, moving map via iPad or Android display, Android tablet.
Right. Yeah,
really, sky's the limit on that.
Well, exactly. And I've been saying this on the show over the last few months that aren't we going to a system where you don't really need to do much to your plane? This is all going to be little devices you set via Bluetooth in the dash. And
it's actually already here. A company called iLevel's doing it, but it's only on home builds. And literally, their panel, they'll put two iPads, full-size iPads in gizmos connected to their AHARS device, connected to their engine monitoring device with their software app, and you will have all the flight instruments you need in the airplane.
And then you can just take it out when you want.
It's not made it to certified airplanes yet. But they still they still you can get an iPad Gizmo mount where basically it's panel power for your iPad. You pop it in and it's sitting on the panel just like it would be part of the panel, and it's being powered by the aircraft. Plus, if the aircraft power dies, the iPad battery takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of that stuff already happening.
Have you seen that video from eye level that they also control the flaps on the
flaps
for sure on the you just swipe down with two or three fingers on the iPad and the flaps will come down.
So I'm just waiting for the iPad to just fly the plane for me. You hear what I'm saying there, Ben?
I do.
The technology can't come fast enough for me. Ben, the website they can go to and look for that article is what?
GeneralAviationNews.com. If you just go to Google and type Cessna Mods.
There you go, Cessna Mods. All right, and we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Are sharks keeping you out of the water? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain why you have way more to fear on land next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Thanks to Hollywood, sharks are easily the most feared creatures in the sea. The truth is, you have a much better chance of being struck by lightning or winning the lottery than being bit by a shark. Way more people die from car accidents, bee stings, falling coconuts, and even champagne corks than shark attack. So yeah, with proper perspective and a little common sense, you might be safer in the water than on land. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Wheels up, flaps down. Let's fly.
I wanna fly. I'm ready to burn down all the walls that I've been building up inside. Whoa, oh, I wanna fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so next week, if everything goes as planned, which God knows that never is quite what happens on this show, we hope to have a show from the Light Sport Aircraft Expo in Sebring, Florida. Keith and I are going to go down there and peruse the grounds with a recorder, talk to some folks, and if things go as planned, we'll have a show from the site next week. That could be fun.
Cool.
I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Keith and I think it's great. Ed won't come. He won't even join us for this. Because why? You have to do this thing called work.
No, because I'm going.
Oh, is that what it was? And it's you didn't want him to go? Who's going to babysit Greg this week?
We drew straws and he lost.
Okay. Well, we'll have fun anyway.
You will.
Yeah. So tune in next week for that.
Are you riding down on the back of his motorcycle?
I don't know. Am I, Keith? How are we getting down there? I thought we were going to fly an airplane down. A souped-up 172 with a Corvette engine. No?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm taking my bike.
Taking your bike. So I'd ride on the handlebars.
It's going to be a nice ride. No, you're taking your truck or something. You're not riding, you know.
I'm not riding?
You're not going to put your arms around him and be on the back of his bike.
Oh, boy. That would be a sight, wouldn't it? Okay.
I didn't need that visual.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So some other stuff that has kind of come across my radar this week. Three different press releases for aviation in China. Mm-hmm. One about drones, UAVs. They actually have already put in some restrictions on flying drones in China.
I bet you the punishments for breaking those rules is extremely strict as well.
Yeah, it doesn't say what happens to you if you got caught breaking them, but you have to have a license.
Firstborn.
Yeah, maybe. License, you have to have a health certificate, you have to alert the administration before every single flight of your drone in China, evidently. Mm-hmm. So they have cracked down big time on the drones in China.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. Another thing, they've put together
China.
Yeah.
So they're concerned about personals, you know, freedom not being videotaped by anybody other than the government?
Yeah, I guess so. They want to maintain their monopoly.
I guess.
Yeah. And, so, but they also have put together some kind of aviation engine conglomerate with $22 billion to make new airplane engines in China for some of the planes that they're developing. It seems like the aviation industry is on fire. If that wasn't enough, there's another story about them revealing their new lethal, low-cost fighter that they're going to be selling globally. So they got all this aviation technology that is coming out of China, and I don't know, what do we got? Cirrus is made out of China? Is that what you're telling me?
No, they're not made out of China, but they're owned by a Chinese corporation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Same thing with Continental and Mooney. They've all been bought by Chinese organization. Beechcraft almost got bought by a Chinese organization, but at the last minute they backed out of that deal, and now are, of course, owned by Textron, same as Cessna.
Well, a lethal, you know, fighter that China makes for low cost, you know, that is one piece of machinery that I don't know that I would want to, you know, chintz on. You hear what I'm saying?
Version it's disposable.
For you. That's right. The reason it's cheap is they don't care if the pilot makes it back or not.
Well, you say that, but actually the quality of their stuff has been going up over the last few years, hasn't it? The quality.
Yeah, they've been taking all of our technology.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They have actually...
We started manufacturing over there, and they basically copied everything we build. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear that being talked about among some of the political candidates these days, and I see all these press releases, I started thinking, hey, there may be something to what they're saying about this. I don't know. I don't really know the nuts and bolts of it.
Russia did it. Why shouldn't they? I mean, if you look at a lot of the airplanes post-World War II, they were re-engineered from U.S. aircraft.
By stealing our secrets kind of thing?
Just by airplanes technology that inadvertently ended up landing in Russia. The
right.
B-29. They came out with their own version of B-29.
Well, it's a little different in China, though, because they're making some of the parts there, and then they just kind of copy the plans, and, hey, we can do this, too. Let's make another version of it.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. The quote-unquote Chinese knockoff.
Well, and you look at the Korean, North Korea built a piston airplane, looks exactly like a 172, except it has windshield wipers.
Well, if you could hit a rainstorm.
There's that big fan out there blowing the rain off of the windshield.
But
I'm just saying that it...
The Chinese knockoff soon to be sold in a New York alley near you.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to, you know, visit Times Square and, hey, I got a jet fighter here, right here. With your name on it, pal. How's this for a souvenir? Yeah, I don't know.
Instead of Cessna, it'll say Cessno.
Maybe. But it does seem like they have established a big foothold in the aviation industry, more so than in many other industries.
Well, and if you look at the aviation industry, that, you know, where do they feel their growth area is? It is China.
Mm-hmm.
That you talk to anybody at Cessna, that they are trying to develop CPCs in China. They're trying to build airplanes that can be sold in China because they see that airspace when it opens up or as it opens up to be in a vast untapped market.
Right.
As it opens up, because it has opened up already for some general aviation.
Yeah, yeah, and it will continue to open up more, and they view that as a huge growth potential because of the population over there.
Yeah.
They'll probably never get as open as ours.
No. Well, ours will be restricted to the point where they'll match.
You think that's what's going to happen?
It is happening.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's true. Well, I just, you know, I don't want to be so negative about it. If they do good stuff and they start to innovate on their own as opposed to just taking our stuff and making it cheaper, then that could be a good thing.
They'll take jobs away from people in Wichita, Kansas.
But there's no place like home.
Okay, Dorothy.
And we better just end it with that. Until next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.